Selecting just 5 poems from across English literary history is quite a challenge. Nevertheless, here are 5 that are often taught in British or American schools. These are poems about life's big themes: love, death, solitude, and struggle. All the poets mentioned had a major cultural impact at the time they were writing, and all 5 poems below are still read and quoted today. The choice has been made with historical perspective, which is why 3 of the poets are white, male, and English. All the poems are from Britain or the US, even though the profile of people publishing poetry in the language is considerably more varied and people from around the globe have written world-changing poetry in English. There are many omissions. We could have gone all the way back to the old English epic poem Beowulf, written in the 1st century, drawn on the work of Chaucer, who was writing in the late 1300s, or come right up to date with the poems of American poet laureate Ada Limon, born in 1976. From the love sonnets that mimic the rhythm of a beating heart, Shakespeare's iambic pentameter, to lines that stirred the souls of black rights protesters, here is the work of 5 poets writing in English who have changed the way we think. William Shakespeare, Sonnet 18. Today, William Shakespeare, 1564 to 1616, is best known for his plays. He wrote around 37 of them, but he also wrote poems including 154 sonnets, many on the theme of love. The most famous is probably Sonnet 18. It's often interpreted as a romantic love poem addressed to a woman, but in fact, it was certainly written to a man and more likely expressed platonic rather than romantic love. It's one of 126 sonnets that Shakespeare addressed to a mysterious male figure called the Fair Youth, who some scholars believe was the attractive young aristocrat Henry Wriothesley. Sonnet 18 compares the beloved to a beautiful summer's day, but concludes that his beauty, as described in the poem, is more perfect and will last longer. In fact, suggests Shakespeare, his beauty will stay alive for as long as people continue to read about it in the poem. The 14-line sonnet form was nothing new, but Shakespeare developed a distinctive version with 3 4-line verses, called quatrains, plus a pair of rhyming lines, a rhyming couplet, at the end. Shakespeare uses iambic pentameter, lines of 10 syllables with alternating unstressed and then stressed syllables, as well as his typical sonnet rhyme scheme of A-B-A-B, whereby in each quatrain the 1st and 3rd lines rhyme and the 2nd and 4th lines rhyme.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou oust, nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growst. So long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
William Wordsworth, I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud. One of the romantic poets, William Wordsworth, 1770 to 1850, focused on ideas of beauty and the sublime, that is, the realm of experience beyond rational thought, in his work. This seemed especially urgent as the British Industrial Revolution, 1760 to 1840, was changing people's traditional relationship with nature. Wordsworth lived in the Lake District in northwest England, and the dramatic landscapes of the region inspired many of his poems. In I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud, Wordsworth describes walking alone in the countryside and suddenly seeing a lot of yellow daffodils growing wild. Daffodils grow abundantly in England in spring. At the end of the poem, Wordsworth reflects on the joy of being able to recall a scene from nature, like that of the daffodils when he is alone. I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. For oft, when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon that inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, Sonnets from the Portuguese, number 43. By the mid-1840s, Elizabeth Barrett, 1806 to 1861, was one of the leading English poets of the time, popular both in Britain and the United States. She had been born into a wealthy family, but was politically engaged, writing poems defending the rights of the poor and oppressed. In 1843, she published a poem called The Cry of the Children, about the suffering of children forced to work in factories and mines. And in 1848, she published the poem The Runaway Slave at Pilgrim's Point, protesting against slavery in America, even though her own family had made its money using slave labor. Her long poem Aurora Lay, 1857, is now seen as an early feminist text. In 1845, another well-known English poet, Robert Browning, wrote to Barrett after reading her work, and the couple married in secret against the wishes of Barrett's family. In 1850, Elizabeth Barrett Browning was persuaded by Robert to publish a collection of 44 love poems, called Sonnets from the Portuguese, which she had written in 1845-6. These sonnets, like Shakespeare's, use iambic pentameter. Several of them remain well known today, especially Sonnet number 43, which is a popular choice for wedding celebrations. Here are the first lines. Notice the ABBA rhyme scheme.
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And, if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death.
Wilfred Owen, Dulce et Decorum Est. Wilfred Owen, 1893-1918, was one of the first World War poets. His work describes the horrors of life and death for soldiers in the trenches of France during the 1914-18 war. He depicts in graphic detail the suffering caused by the gas attacks and bombs and mud. Owens himself suffered from shell shock, and while trying to recover, was inspired by another English war poet, Siegfried Sassoon, to write poetry about his own experience in the trenches. Owen completely rejects any idea of patriotism or glorification of war. In his 1917 poem, Anthem for Doomed Youth, he writes about young men dying like cattle, forgotten by their country. In Dulce et Decorum Est, he starts by describing the intense physical suffering of the soldiers in the trenches, and ends by condemning as the old lie the patriotic Latin expression of the poem's title that translates, "How sweet and fitting it is to die for one's country." Owen died in action in France aged 25, exactly a week before Armistice Day. Men marched asleep. Many had lost their boots, but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of gas shells dropping softly behind. If you could hear, at every jolt, the blood come gargling from the froth-corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as the cud of vile incurable sores on innocent tongues, my friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory the old lie, dulce et decorum est pro patria mori. Maya Angelou, Still I Rise. Maya Angelou, 1928-2014, born in St. Louis, Missouri, had a varied career that included dance, composing, acting, directing, and teaching. She is best known, however, for her poetry, autobiography, and activism. She worked with Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr. during the American Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s. Her most famous work, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, 1969, is a memoir of her traumatic childhood. Many of her poems address themes of civil rights, especially for women and black people, and often express a sense of exuberance and optimism. Her poem, Phenomenal Woman, 1978, which has the refrain, I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman, that's me, has a celebratory tone. Here are the first and last lines of Angelou's poem, Still I Rise, about the experience of being black in America. It was often quoted after the election of Barack Obama as U.S. president in 2008.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise.